Amari Cooper, it's just announced they're sending their very talented wide receiver to the Buffalo Bills. Good, dependable, veteran wide receiver. You talk about an upgrade from Deshaun Watson to Josh Allen, from the mess in Cleveland to the Buffalo Bills.
It's coming. It's picked up. Going for it all for Cooper.
Receivers from the left side. Russ comes this way with the throw, and Cooper juggles, and he's going to make the catch at the 40-yard line.
Third and six from the pocket to the end zone, and the touchdown, Amari Cooper.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, well, well.
Welcome back.
Jeez.
Welcome back to Sneaky Joe. And the big things happen while someone's on vacation.
Yeah.
Because I think this definitely meets the qualification.
Yeah, Bills trade for Amari Cooper. They're saying choo-choo, folks. That's what the sound you hear is everyone saying choo-choo. All right. It happened right after the show yesterday. The Devontae Adams trade happened, and then the Cooper trade happened right afterwards.
Both like minutes after?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when they traded Diggs, right?
Diggs was right out. Like, you know, can we work on that? How about 9 a.m.?
Yeah, because you were still here when they traded Diggs, right?
Yes. We had a meeting. I had to be called back in.
Okay. Gotcha.
So anyway, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Yep. Okay. It's Wednesday.
The train's rolled into the station?
The train has arrived. And, man, it's funny. Are they going all in? I wouldn't quite say that. What they're doing is they had a fantasy roster that had an active hole, and they went out and filled it.
Yeah, and they had a good record, too. So yeah. Like, it was worthy of, okay, we should fill the hole. We're not 2-4. Well, I guess the Jets are 2-4, and they did the same thing.
Yeah.
But the Jets
went all in because they spent more on a bigger player, and they're trying to save it, where the Bills, I mean, I guess
are in good shape record-wise.
Yes, and desperately needed this. There's so much to get to on Amari Cooper. We'll talk to Sal at 7. We were going to give Sal the day off. And like, you know, if something happens, come on.
Uh-huh.
And then 20 minutes later, something he texts happened. Me. He's like, okay, so I think I'm going to come on. So Sal's coming on at 7. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. Excited to talk to him. Listen to his breakdown of the Amari Cooper trade. Cooper, I learned, is one of Joe's favorite players. Like, has liked him for a long time. So it's not just that the Bills got him, but he likes Cooper.
You could like him for a long time, too, because he is the oldest 30-year-old I think I've ever seen in my life. Like, if you go look at the list of people he played college football with, it's going to blow your mind. He's been in the league for 10 years, and he's 30 years old.
Alabama, right?
So he was a very young entry into the league. Like, I guess he was 20.
Been on 4 teams and has never been a free agent.
Okay, he's been traded all 3 times.
He's been traded 3 times and has never hit free agency.
Yeah.
He's about to at the end of this year.
Okay.
So we'll
the Bills give him an extension.
Which is possible. You know, whatever. We can get to that when the time comes. 803-0550 is our phone number. I'm on NFL Pro watching all of Cooper's catches from this year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
this year, this is a down year for him so far.
Yes, yes. He is number one in the NFL in air yards missed out on due to inaccurate throws.
Isn't the number like
600 yards?
It's massive.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The amount of times Deshaun Watson has just flat out missed Amari Cooper.
Yep.
So there's so much to get to. One thing I'd like to say off the bat is, you know the famous line, if you listen to the fans, you'll end up sitting with them? Yeah, not so much. Not so much this time. This time, everybody knew.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knew in the entire league. Everybody knew you couldn't hack it with what you had. And the Bills go out and make a trade, and you know, good for them in being, you want to say, aggressive, doing it early enough where this isn't at the deadline. They can onboard him now, get him up and running for a couple games, and then by the time you hit the meteor schedule where it's Kansas City, San Francisco, Detroit, teams that you might have to keep up with on some level, you're going to have him ready. Yesterday, you know, one of the first calls I received, this is going to make everybody feel even better. One of the first calls I got was our buddy Carrington Harrison in Kansas City that wanted to talk about the trade and asked me how I felt about the value of it because he's been saying the Chiefs should have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Feel better now?
No, everybody's feel way better now.
Now the Chiefs might turn their sights to somebody else, and you know, we'll see how that goes for them.
But they want the guy. A lot of them are going to want the guy.
Yep.
I mean, if yesterday, put yourself, if it had been flipped, if it had been reversed, where the Jets traded for Davante Adams, you can leave that the same if you want. And then immediately after, oh, price has been set. Chiefs trade a third-round pick for Amari Cooper. How would you have felt?
I would come in here and say, who are you going to trade for?
Mm-hmm.
And Cooper
and
plays...
And it felt like you missed out on the perfect guy to get because of the salary and, like,
yeah.
Adams was always going to be tough if no money was being withheld. And that, if you want a receiver of that caliber and you have limited cap space, like, you are on a limited list. You can't just go trade for anybody.
Right. It's like the Sabres being on no-trade lists. Like, you're only dealing with half the league here.
Right.
Who you can actually afford to acquire. So there's so much to get to, and we will get to all of it with you at 803-0550. I want to say off the bat that he's not a perfect player, but this is a lot of what it's like at this time. You don't get to pick from perfect players. Davante Adams is older and expensive, and Cooper is a little older and a UFA, expiring UFA. He's not Diggs, but he's really good, and he's been pretty good for a lot of his career, and more than anything, he plays on the outside. Mm-hmm. This is another example.
Yes, he does.
They really could have used this guy when they had Stephon Diggs as their number two. They could have used Cooper instead of Gabe Davis, but okay, that's fine. They've needed somebody on the outside that isn't, all due respect to, Jake Kumerow, or isn't just Gabe Davis, who's very limited, or isn't Mac Hollins, all due respect to Mac Hollins, who I think had a nice game. Somebody on the outside. I mean, how long have we been talking about this? When they drafted Khalil Shakir, we were asking about do they have enough on the outside, and the Bills said we think Shakir can play on the outside. No,
nope.
That's not what we're talking about. A guy that wins outside the numbers, a guy that can beat man coverage, and they've got that. Again, he's maybe not elite, but he's good. And it cost you, one way to say it, less than a third-round pick. A third, and you also pick-swapped a sixth and seventh. That means it's less than a third.
Mm-hmm.
Less than a third. And your third is late, probably. So
right.
I'm just into it. I'm into it. It makes tons of sense, and you know, if we're looking further down the line, all the conversation about how I don't think they really want somebody that commands attention.
I
look forward to never hearing that again.
Yeah.
Never again. Next year at the draft, we will be talking about receivers because Cooper will be gone or resigned. And
but older.
Older.
Yeah.
Mac Hollins is on a 1-year deal. They released MVS, $2.25 million guaranteed for that. For two catches.
Mm-hmm. Two catches on
nine targets.
Nine targets, yeah.
Mistake.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. You cut your losses and you make a move in the right direction.
That I like too. I'm impressed. They've done this a couple times. OJ Howard, maybe they did this too, where like they gave him like $3 million guaranteed.
Yep.
And like they just, there was no sunk cost fallacy with them. It's okay, we've invested $3 million in this, but guys, look at this. We're not getting any help here, so let's eat it. Like, I don't know that every team I don't know that every team would be willing to do that. Would just be willing to, what is it, six games in with Marquez Valdes-Scantling or any player, just say, yeah, $2.5 million. Let's just eat it. Let's admit it was a mistake in front of everybody.
Yep.
I'm impressed that you're willing to do that. If you've made a mistake, admit you made the mistake and go get better and go improve from it. And I think the upgrade, same as you, like. Cooper's not, I'm not going to put him like, he's not a top 10 receiver. He's not, there was no reason to put a condition in the trade, like in the Adams trade, where if Cooper's a first team all pro, like that, he's not going to be a first team all pro receiver. I don't think. He's playing with Josh Allen now. But he's so much better than what they have. He's infinitely better than what they had on the outside.
Right. He's credible.
Yes. He's somebody that is going to, I think the lesson that might be learned is, when you don't have somebody on the outside, how much harder it can be for your other players on the middle. And I think you're going to see Cooper more, like I want to hear Joe talk about this next hour, how much Cooper could drag coverage, drag attention out to the outside, teams now having to respect it so that Shakir, Kincaid, those guys' jobs get way easier than they've been.
Yep. One way I've heard it said a lot when Diggs left was, it gets really hot without your shade tree. And that's Cooper here. He's a shade tree. When the number one guy that actually commands attention, even the last whatever, however many games of the season last year, when he's gone and they don't have to think about him, they can key in on who you've got and they're not afraid of anybody. It gets real hot without that shade tree. So the Bills have a shade tree and more room for Kincaid and more room for Shakir to operate. So I love it. I mean, it's great. It's great. It's also not a big long-term commitment. It's not a cap hit, right. Cap jail. It's something that, lines up with a lot of what they've wanted to do, which is clear their books. And in their transition year, here's the other part of it, Joe. I guess one of the questions would be, are they surprised to make this move, or did they think they probably were going to make it all the time? Because I'm inclined to tell you that, no, Brandon Bean did not really think these receivers were going to hack it. I don't think he did. He's a GM of a football team, of an NFL team that's really good, that has had a bunch of pretty good receivers, a couple of great receivers in Josh Allen's career. He didn't just one day wake up and decide, you know what, I don't need those anymore. I never believed it, and I still don't believe it. So I don't think this is a surprise. I think this is something that, you know, he might have had in his back pocket. Like, all right, let's see how it goes. We made it six games in. All right, it's time to pull the trigger on that. It's also, of course, worth wondering if they would have pulled the trigger on Davante Adams, because it happened immediately after Adams was traded.
A little coincidental.
Yes. So maybe they had with Cleveland a buy it now price.
Yeah.
Hey, as soon as Adams gets traded, we'll set that market and we'll go for Cooper. Or it was, hey, as soon as Adam gets traded, let's talk.
It reminded me of when they traded for Diggs, and was it like 4 hours earlier that the Cardinals traded for DeAndre Hopkins?
Yes.
I mean, that price maybe wasn't comparable, though, because they traded a running back to get DeAndre Hopkins. But it was like 4 hours later, the Bills traded for Diggs. This was less than that. This was this within an hour?
It was minutes. It felt like minutes.
It felt like it was minutes after. Yeah. Which also, by the way, was kind of funny just to see, like, out the Jets. Like, there's Rodgers and Adams smiling on Pat McAfee's show, feeling good, even though they lost the night before, and the Bills just steal their lunch money for the second day in a row.
Yep.
That was fun to watch.
It was very
fun. Not
going
to lie.
Very fun. Also, you know, on the Adams trade, that one was easy to see. Mike Williams goes zero catches, zero targets.
Yeah.
And then Rodgers flat out blames him for the interception late in the game. Like, that guy was gone fast. Now they're taking trade offers from him for him, which, I mean, I guess he'll end up going probably to the Steelers or something because they want a receiver and they didn't get anybody they've been looking for, whether
right.
that's Cooper or Adams or Ayuk. So anyway, happy Wednesday. The Bills made a receiver trade. It is a great idea. It doesn't have to be a long-term perfect trade, but it is very desperately needed. And the offense, I think, can probably breathe now. The numbers they just put on ESPN were, you could find numbers for anything, but the Bills receivers in yards and catches and first downs, and they're like 26th in all of those numbers. Woof.
Yeah. The one I saw yesterday that was startling, but not actually that surprising, because how many explosive plays have they had? Is that their explosive play rate was lower than Denver?
The Bills?
Mm-hmm.
In the passing game? Or overall?
I think maybe it was overall.
Yikes.
Was lower than Denver.
Yeah.
Just, you should never be there.
You've not
you should
been getting
never,
enough.
ever be there. That's the other thing about Cooper is when he's been at his best, this year has not been that. Last year was. Anyone that had him in fantasy remembers what he did. I think in the fantasy
Week
championship.
16 or 17?
He had 265 yards and two touchdowns in one game. Like, he won people their leagues.
So he can.
Last year.
He comes through in big spots, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And if you go watch the highlights from that game, which I watched, like, it's a 4-minute YouTube video. It's just the highlights from that game, and it's all just like 50 yard bombs down the field. Like, he just runs straight, and Flacco just lobs it up, and bam, catch. He's past the defender. If he's at his best, I think he's also a vertical threat for you.
Yes, he should be.
He should be.
So his raw separation grade from PFF is above average. It's good. I mean, it's not, you know, Nico Collins. Uh-huh. It's not prime Diggs, but it's right around where Diggs is now.
Mm-hmm.
Separation. So he gets separation. Reading his profile on receptionperception.com, we'll get some calls in, Mike. We'll get right to your call in a moment. I just want to make this point. Reading his profile on Reception Perception, Matt Harmon, who we love, I cite him all the time on receiver stuff, he said his breakdown of him basically was, there's definitely a lot of ability here. He's really, really good. He struggles sometimes with inconsistency. Like, sometimes he looks like an elite route winner, and then other times he doesn't. So that's the difference between, you know, the elite number one receivers and the guy that's like the 13th best number one. He wins plenty. His percentile wins against man, against zone, against press are totally acceptable. You know, when the Bills brought Keon Coleman in, listen, we'll get to Keon. They brought in a guy that won against man coverage at a really bad rate in college. And you can't just think he's going to come in and beat man coverage in the NFL. He'll work on that. We'll get to that. Here's Cooper beating it regularly in the pros. Like, that's a guy you need. So, finally, I want to say this is like 3 years in the making of the Bills needing someone like this to win for them outside the numbers. They did it with Gabe for a couple years, and that was pretty successful.
Yeah.
But we always wanted a little bit better. I think this is better than Gabe on the outside. So they probably needed this guy for 3 years, and they've never needed him more than they need him now.
They needed him.
For sure.
There's no doubt. There's no argument. They needed him.
Yep.
Bad.
Yeah, you weren't here yesterday, so you were at the game. We'll talk about that, too. So the post game yesterday morning about the Jets game, it was an awful lot of, hey, nice win, weird game, we need a receiver. Even though they won the game,
So
80% of the calls were, this team's still going to need a receiver. And then, sure enough, that day, there it is.
So there were more calls about that than how stupid the officiating in the game itself was.
It was pretty close. It was pretty close, yes.
I've never been, we'll talk more about the game. I've never imagined I would be on the road at a Bills road division game in the fourth quarter of a close game and turning around just like nodding with fans of the other team being like, yeah, this game is stupid. This is the dumbest game ever.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. All right, let's connect with some fans. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Connect with our friends, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Northtown Kia, shop online at northtownkia.com. West of New York's number one Kia dealer. Open phone lines for you. Your immediate reaction to the trade, what it means, how it makes you feel about the season going forward. Mike in Orchard Park is going to lead us off. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Hit that receiver train, baby. We're back.
Hit that horn. That's right. We're going to hit that horn all day today.
Hey, man, so this is what I'm looking at. I'm sure you guys are going to break all the stats down with Cooper and everything, but the one stat that I'm looking at that I'm kind of excited about is Cooper has created an average of 2.7 yards of separation with all his routes ran, and that is going to create defenses to run less man coverage against the Bills' defense, and I feel it's just going to open up everything around us. We already run the ball really good right now, and I like just overall as the offense stands, I feel you're going to see defenses respect our passing game and enhance. Hopefully, Josh Allen will trust Cooper to just create an overall balance to our passing game this year. So yeah, man, I'm really excited about this. I don't need Cooper to put up crazy stats. I just need him to create separation, and hopefully, you know, it'll get the rest of the guys going in the passing game this year.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, the separation point, 2.7 yards of separation. I saw that yesterday. Next Gen Stats had that. Right. He brings a skill set the Bills don't currently have. I don't think they have that. Mac Hollins doesn't do that. Keon Coleman doesn't do that yet. And this might take away snaps from Coleman, but okay, that's fine. The Bills are not in a developmental wide receiver year. Mm-hmm. They're in we're 4-2, and the best team in the league is the Chiefs, and we beat them all the time. Or it's the Ravens, who maybe we need a little bit more to deal with them. Or it's the Texans, mm-hmm. who it came down to a field goal. Like, there are probably four teams in the AFC. Would you take anybody else? Who's going to win the AFC? Those four or the field?
Those four. Who? I mean, who would you even get to in the field?
The Steelers? The Jets?
Yeah, no.
I'm not. You wouldn't touch it.
The Dolphins making a comeback. There's no chance.
There's a lot of bad teams in the AFC, and there are four pretty good ones. And all the division races, I mean, is this one over? Sure feels like it. Is the West over?
We were doing the math on that yesterday. Like, the Jets, like, it was right after they made the Adams trade. Like, okay, are you scared? And it's still like, they have Adams. Don't they have to go like 9-2 to have a shot at winning the division?
At the division, they probably have to go 9-2.
Because they have to be three games better than the Bills?
But I think
it depends if they were to win the second game, I guess.
I might be in the minority. I like the trade for the Jets, too, because I know that, you know, hey, if you're not winning the Super Bowl, it's worthless. I mean, ending a playoff drought for the Jets would matter. If I'm a Jets fan, I would want them to do that. The Bills ended their drought. They traded for Kelvin Benjamin, which, you know, was that a good move? Not really. But it helped them end their drought. So I think it's a fine move for the Jets, but no, I'm not afraid of them. I think they have no hope because of their quarterback, actually.
So it feels like a four team race.
Yep. And the Bills in that race get ahead of Kansas City on trying to track down a receiver.
And three of the teams were all probably thinking about the same position, right? Even Baltimore, if you were to think, hey, they're going to make a move for blank at the deadline, I could have easily put a receiver there too.
Yeah.
With Zay Flowers, like Bateman plays on the outside, and that's kind of all they got. And you know the Chiefs are going to want somebody. So you're going for the same position that they would. Getting to the market early feels smart to me. And now you look at their depth chart. It's so easy, like how one, I've been saying this like a couple weeks ago, I still kind of feel like they're only one player away. That's it. Just one guy, and then it'll all feel like, okay, this is good. I'm good. Sure, I would have much rather had this trade 2 years ago when Diggs was still on the team. But suddenly, you look at their receiving core, and it's like, you could so talk yourself into, okay, they're all set now. Because I've got Cooper on the outside, and oh, suddenly Coleman is knocked down a peg to number receiver two. I don't have to rely on a rookie who has led them in snaps on the outside, by the way, so far this year, to be like the number one outside receiver.
Right, when everybody, or at least a lot of people, said and, he's not going to be ready to play the outside.
Yeah.
This also might free up Coleman to, ready for this, play in the slot.
Sure. Because before, like, he just couldn't because they needed him to play every snap on the outside.
Right, right. And Coleman, there's a lot of people that think he would be good in the slot. Maybe this gives him a little more time to, whatever, learn more about the position and work inside where he and Shakir will alternate or whatever.
And also, I was feeling like they're only out. Well, maybe there were two. They had two ways to get more receiver production. And it was just, we're waiting to see if one of them happens. And it was either Coleman takes some massive Rashee Rice step that happened last year for him in Kansas City, or like Curtis Samuel suddenly starts looking three times faster and his foot looks healthy and then suddenly he's doing it. But now, like I could still get those things, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If I get those things, then the receiving core might be actually great. But I feel like now you have that baseline. You have that foundation. If Cooper is going to be playing well, which I would expect him to, just you're not relying on, well, if this happens and if this happens, then I'm okay at receiver.
We'll run down some of the stats for you on what's gone on for Cooper in Cleveland, especially since being paired with Deshaun Watson, who, if you're following the league, is one of the worst quarterbacks, not only in the league today, but in like 10 years.
Like ever. Yeah.
He's horrible. And it's a funny thing what's going to happen to that passing game, because the Browns, who have the worst passing game in the league, just traded away a guy they throw the ball to 27% of the time. Now what? Now what, Cleveland? You thought the passing game was bad before. Get ready.
Yeah.
803-0550 is our number, 1-888-552-550. Come on, Bills fans. Wide open phone lines for you. We talk with Sal at 7 on Amari Cooper, on Davante Adams to the Jets, on the AFC race, because the Bills make a move that indicates they, A, knew they needed something, or B, that it's time to push in a little bit here. It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
You know, you look at this group, there are a lot of journeymen in that group. Valdez-Scantling is, you know, journeyman. Mac Hollins, journeyman. Keon Coleman hasn't developed. Curtis Samuel's a gimmicky weapon. And Shakir is a good player, but you need more. And I think going out and getting more after what the Jets did makes sense for them.
That's Pete Prisco. One thing about, he says there, like Curtis Samuel's the gimmicky weapon. They don't have to use him like a gimmicky weapon. He did have a catch down the field against the Jets.
He did.
Forget who I was talking to yesterday.
He had 44 yards, I mean, for him. Triple his receiving total on the year.
It's kind of mini ranting with friends that, why do the Bills get a fast guy and always treat him like a gimmick?
Yeah.
Because they do that. Isaiah McKenzie's gadget. Mm. Curtis Samuel's gadget. More than he is just, hey, go play.
Mm-hmm.
At least since Dable left. I mean, John Brown, what was he? Run down the field.
He was like a real wide receiver.
Yeah. And since then, it's been, oh, the fast guys are here for the gadgets. Anyway, we'll see if this opens things up for Curtis Samuel. The Bills acquire Amari Cooper and really steal the headlines from the Jets. Right now on ESPN, they've got both wide receivers on the screen. Like, which one's better as far as who will have a bigger impact? Adams to the Jets, Cooper to the Bills. Think, by the way, if the Jets had won that game and then this happens, it's arms race, division, holy cow, we are in the thick of it. Instead, you know, two-game lead, pretty good. The Bills are sitting pretty, I think. They're in good shape. And their defense looks like they've got some issues, but we're starting to find out who their playmakers are. You know, Bernard, you kind of knew that. Taylor Rapp had a great game. So you were at this game. Joe was at the game at MetLife Stadium, Bills and Jets.
The windiest tailgate I've ever seen in my entire life, by the way.
More so than the Patriots hurricane,
so
or you were not there?
I was not at that one, so that's going to be my caveat here. I was not at that one.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that one probably was windier. This one was like you couldn't have
a tent.
You really couldn't. We had to put our table on, like, we got like a big passenger van that we rented to take down there, and we had the only place we could put the table and have it be anywhere where it wouldn't get blown away was like on the side of the van that was being blocked by the wind, like taking the spot next to it. Like we had a football and we were just chucking, the parking lot was like empty when we first got there, and throwing this football probably 80 yards in the air because we just get caught up in the wind. The stadium was big and kind of... You ever been there, MetLife?
I have not. I was at the Meadowlands long ago, but never MetLife.
It was just kind of bleh.
Yeah.
You know, like nothing over the top, nothing crazy special. The concourses, same thing. Like it was very neutral. I guess that's probably on purpose though, because they have two teams to play there. Like there's, if you didn't look out on the field, you would have never known the New York Jets play football there. Like there's just no markings of it anywhere. Or the Giants. It's just gray. Everything's gray.
Yeah.
But stadium was massive. The game was pretty, I mean, obviously long and frustrating. But yeah, like the sight lines were great. You know what it reminded me of that is different, I think, from the current stadium that's going to be more like the new stadium, is you could tell how steep it was. Like we were row 4 of the upper deck, so kind of like lower level of the upper deck, bird's eye view, and you feel like... There was like obviously 50 rows above us, and you feel like you're like in the sky, but you're right on the field. Like you're closer. You could tell you're closer to the field than you are in the current stadium. Like it's very, very steep. So the game was a great experience for sure. A lot of Bills fans also.
You got a road win,
and you got a road win
in a very stupid game.
I do think like Jets fans weren't as bad as I thought they could have been, but. You ever on a road game, just like, I don't want to walk out of here and like have the game be a loss and just, oh, go home, right. You know, like just constant banter from behind you as you're walking out. And of course, Bills fans, there's enough Bills fans, you're just high-fiving everybody in blue and red that you walk by.
That reminds me of the time I was walking out of game 5 in Carolina wearing my Sabres jersey, and a horde of Carolina fans followed me out and said, get out of here.
Uh-huh.
You're in the wrong town, buddy. And I was just like... Man, how sad.
There is such a great feeling of
winning on the road
when you're in their building and you're all walking out of the game, yeah. And all the Bills fans are high fiving and the Jets fans are just demoralized. Like, again, we're going to lose again.
Let me give you some numbers on Amari Cooper and what this means for the Bills. There's a conversation here about Joe Brady and Josh Allen that is the secondary conversation. Like, all right, let's get, and here's where it starts. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, had this yesterday. Amari Cooper is currently second in the NFL in air yards.
Okay.
Yep. 697. Air yards is how far the ball has traveled through the air on its way to Cooper.
Yep.
697. Shakir, Samuel, Hollins, Coleman, and MVS combined.
Uh-huh.
799.
Yikes.
697 to 799. The entire Bills wide receiver corps has 100 more air yards than this one player. And the thing I keep thinking about, they this year turned Josh Allen into let's dink, dunk, take easy stuff and get yak. Mm-hmm. That's been their goal for years. And they just traded for a wide receiver who goes down the field and they throw it down the field.
Do you know where he ranked last year in average depth of target?
Cooper?
Yeah. Actually, out of 36 receivers had 100 targets last year. He was 4th in the NFL in average depth of target. Only Ayuk, Hopkins, and Evans were higher.
To me, Cooper represents, and this is something to get in with Sal and get in with Joe Marino next hour, that he's a Josh Allen receiver. Josh,
yes,
everybody knows this, wants to throw down the field. He yes. wants to heave it. And, you know, deciding to throw a governor on his engine and say, we'll throw 6 yards all the time. Throw it behind the line of scrimmage for a screen. What are you talking about? He wants to rip the ball down the field, which is why, I made this point yesterday, Joe, so I'm sorry for people out there hearing it again, but you were at the game. Why did he throw a 50-yard bomb to Ray Davis? Because he was the furthest away.
Yo, by the way,
that's
like,
why.
So you got it. You know Josh Allen. Like if you've watched him enough, we're like in the upper deck. So I love that view because you can just see you could see the whole field. And you saw Ray Davis.
And my buddy and you
next
knew it.
To me, we noticed Ray Davis throwing down the field. We're like, oh, Davis. We both said Davis like at the same time. Like he's gonna throw this ball. We see the running back 50 yards down the field with a step like. Just, you know, in turn, he's throwing this football. Sure enough, bam, there it is. Just, he heaves it 50 yards. It's amazing.
If Josh Allen had a choice between a tackle-eligible 50 yards downfield or a receiver 12 yards, he's throwing to the tackle.
I mean, he's the man that threw a 50-yard bomb to Pat DeMarco once upon a time. That's it. Yes. That's in there somewhere.
You've got to tap into his soul and what he is. And what he a guy that gets open down the field, a depth of target guy. You know, for one thing that Cooper could maybe unlock, and this is where Allen has to be better. Don't we all know that Josh Allen's deep ball has basically disappeared?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And totally. Cooper is not like your burner over the top, but he's good enough. And he wins a lot vertically, so maybe Josh can get that ball back in his game. Used to have it, and he's missed a lot on it. Sometimes it's a drop, sometimes it's just a flat-out miss. But Cooper, to me, is not your yak, crafty guy that he's – again, field stretcher might also be too much. He's just a winner on the outside.
He's not – right. He's not like DeSean Jackson, but – from what they have, he is their best field stretcher. He's not the best in the league. He's their best, though, is he not?
Yeah. And
look at the guy they cut.
I was just going to say MVS is who they cut.
MVS is who they cut, and his job was to stretch the field. So it's Cooper now. Like, Cooper is stretching the field, and Cooper is also going to do everything. Like, he runs all the routes. But, like, here's another one. Explosive plays from receivers in the last 3 years. He's ninth in the NFL. He has 41. And like the list of guys above him are all like outside receivers, by the way, that go down. DJ Moore, AJ Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson.
Sounds great.
Like, those are the only names ahead of him. Like, he's going to play on the outside. He's going to run down the field. He's not going to run a 4-2. But I mean, again, like, watching the highlights of him at last year with the Browns, when he started going nuts at the end of the year with Joe Flacco, what were they doing? Flacco was just heaving the ball down the field. That's what their whole offense was last year. So I think that's going to be his job. He's going to be the number one target, I think, by the time he gets rolling. But I think he's also going to be the guy that's going to be getting the big plays.
Well, his upgrade is significant. This stat came from Graham Barfield, fantasy football analyst, who wrote that Amari Cooper has the fifth lowest catchable target rate. When they throw to the receiver, is the ball catchable? And the answer for Cooper is it's the fifth worst. The guys ahead of him, Adonai Mitchell, who's he playing with? He's playing a lot with Anthony Richardson, who misses him. Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Will Levis. Cortland Sutton with Bo Nix. And DeMarcus Robinson with Matthew Stafford. Those are the only four guys that have a worst catchable target percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes Cooper. So, like, throw him in an offense. It's one of those things where when they traded for Diggs, there were numbers that indicated, you know, if this guy comes into our offense, it will just immediately be better on efficiency.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at Cooper and his production and you're the Bills, you say, well, what if instead of, you know, having passes not go to him, they went to him? Oh, all right. Let's see if Josh Allen can get on the ball. So, man, what a day. What a day yesterday. It was a great day. Bills win. Set up for a couple of games here where they should be okay.
Yeah.
And the next conversation, I guess, is kicker, which Sean McDermott said he's concerned. He understands how fans are concerned.
Uh-huh. Do we know, by the way, what number Amari Cooper's going to be wearing yet?
19.
He's going to be wearing 19?
Yes. Okay.
He was wearing number 2.
So Tyler Bass is not giving up his number.
Okay.
Cooper's wearing
or being cut.
19. Previous number 19?
Isaiah McKenzie.
Did he wear 19? He wore 6 for a while.
He wore 19, I think, and then switched to 6 when they allowed the the numbers.
Also,
I would hope receivers, because I hate it as a quarterback number.
Donald Jones,
yep.
Fast Freddie Smith.
Oh, sure, right. Did he ever play for them like in a regular season game, though? Or was he just preseason?
Oh, no, Fast Freddie Smith.
He made it? Okay.
Yeah, Jonathan Smith, a.k.a. Fast Freddie. Yeah, he did. Mike Williams. Don't forget about Mike Williams.
Yep.
Which one was that? Which Mike Williams? The late Mike
Syracuse,
Williams?
The late Mike Williams, yeah.
And also, one more name here. Uh-huh. Walt Powell.
Okay, I remember one thing about Walt Powell.
Catch a deep pass during the drought once?
I don't remember that. I remember being mad about a play at the end of the... Remember the Seattle Monday night game?
Yes.
Tyrod's like best game as a Bill, maybe. There's a play at the end of the game that goes to the end zone. The Bills need a touchdown to win. I think they go to like Robert Woods on the left. And on the right side of the field,
Walt Powell.
Richard Sherman blasts Walt Powell for no reason.
That's right.
Like, concusses him. And people were mad about that the next day. It's the only thing I remember. He's the guy that got smashed by Richard Sherman for no reason. That's all I remember about him.
803-0550. Sal, top of the hour to recap what the Bills had to say about the acquisition of Amari Cooper. Sean McDermott couldn't have downplayed it more. Hilariously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's excited. And here's McDermott to say, like, first off, we've got faith in the guys we've got. Okay. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. Anyway, Sal at 7, Joe Marino 7:30, Lindy at 8. The Sabres have a big three-game stretch here. Win a couple games, come back home. We'll talk about it with you, 803-0550 on WGR. Fantasy football question time for Mr. Joe over here.
Let's go.
Have a dynasty league? Well, you and I are in a league. This is exact same format, exact same everything.
Okay.
Woke up to a trade of Amari Cooper for a first-round pick. How do you like it?
You're offered Cooper. You're offered the first.
Which side do you
Doesn't matter. Okay,
a team going for it decides, I'll go spend a first for Amari Cooper because of his glow-up in this offense. It's an early buy. There's no doubt it's an early buy.
I would think a first is a little bit of an overpayment, which is why I kind of like the offer. Like, let's go. Like, I'm serious about this. I'm not going to try to get him for a third and $10 fab dollars. In a vacuum, I like the first better, though.
Let me give you the numbers.
Because it's Dynasty League.
What's his target share going to be? Everybody eats. By the way, put it on a shirt. RIP, everybody eats, October 15th.
Yeah.
It still might be everybody eats. They still want to spread the ball around. They have, again, part of the point we made for months and months and months is they did that a lot with Diggs. They threw it to a lot of different guys. But anyway, Cooper is on pace for, again, if he didn't switch teams, almost 150 targets.
Yeah.
He gets 8.8 per game. And if you do the math, that's 150 targets. Bills receivers in history to have more than 150 targets.
It's just Diggs, probably,
it's
right?
Molds, Diggs, 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 Molds, Diggs, Molds.
Okay.
That's the company you're in.
Yeah.
I bet he finishes with 120, 130.
Is he going to...
At the minimum.
Is he going to see... So he was getting 27% of the targets in Cleveland.
Yes. A big number one target share.
Yeah, like, are we expecting he's going to be there?
Who's the Bills' number one target share right now? Kincaid's got
a good
number. Mac Hollins has a good number. Hollins might be number one among receivers because Shakir missed time. But
yeah,
from this day forward, who's the number one targeted receiver on the Bills? Is it Shakir or is it Cooper?
Kincaid is at 20%. It's going to be Cooper. So, but the efficiency is going to rocket up. Even if, you know, it's not perfect. You said it earlier, Watson and him have been like the worst combination in the league. It's the least efficient combination in the league, and most of it's on Watson. Cooper has the drops, right? Like, that's worth mentioning. He leads the league in drops with 9. So it's not 100% on Watson, but it's a lot on Watson. It's a ton on Watson.
Yep.
That's one of those where it could be like a win-win trade, because I think you are overpaying getting a first-round pick for a 30-year-old receiver that's changing teams mid-season. I think you like making that trade most times, and I also expect the team that gets Cooper is going to be pretty happy too.
Yeah.
But maybe only for, like...
Well,
I don't know. Some receivers play till they're like 35 and are really good. Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer, but he's still out here looking amazing at 33 or whatever he is. Diggs is putting up numbers, so... Sometimes you don't want to rush, hey, guy's cooked. It can happen quick, but...
You might like it better if Cooper had a year left on his deal here.
Yeah.
Because right now one of the questions will be, will the Bills add to the deal, re-sign him, look to re-sign him, let him walk as a true rental?
Yep.
Cooper's Instagram, he wrote, move or rust. Shout out Rust Belt. Cleveland, Buffalo, I get it. No, move or rust. Anyway, he's on the move. Jeremy and Joe, Sal on the other side. Big Bills trade shakes up the wide receiver room, what it looks like from here. Next hour, heavy on the Bills and what it means with Sal at 7 and Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. Join us, 803-0550 on WGR.